Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning as we continue this series, Too Blessed to be Stressed. Too Blessed to be Stressed. Oh, how this statement has been heard and used so many ways in the last several weeks that we launched this series. It's encouraging to a pastor as you counsel with people and talk with people that they use that statement. You know, and I understand that it's a slogan that's kind of been out there for a while. It's nothing new made up by this preacher, but I hope that it's not just a slogan we say, but it's something that we're learning, something that we're understanding, something that we're taking in. We look in Jeremiah that nothing is too hard for God. What does God see in me? Isaiah told us so well. Last week we talked about you can't outgive God. And here we are this morning, and I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And as you take that statement in, I want to start with an illustration, and I'm not going to sing the song to you, but there's a song entitled, It Could Happen in a Moment. Listen to these words, if you would. It could happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It could happen in a moment, he could break the eastern sky. Though our hearts will feel unworthy, yet how happy we will be. When the Savior comes from heaven, when his blessed face we shall see. I am listening every moment for the mighty trumpet sound. What a time we'll have together when the saints shall leave the ground. All our toiling will be over, all our sorrows and its pain. It could happen in a moment. Jesus Christ could come again. Verse 2 goes like this. It could happen in a moment, any minute of the day. He could call us home to heaven, there forever more to stay. Hold the fort a little longer in your struggle over sin. Trust the great commander's promise. He will surely come again. I am listening every moment for the mighty trumpet sound. What a time we'll have together when the saints shall leave the ground. All our toiling will be over, all our sorrows and its pain. It could happen in a moment. Jesus Christ could come again. Jesus Christ. I hope you believe that this morning.
Amen.
This message shouldn't be too hard to preach, to be honest with you. I hope it's an encouragement and a blessing to you today. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians 4. I want you to look at verse 18 as we read one verse, set some context, then we're going to saturate through a few of the passages before I give you just a few points, and we go home this morning. Look at the 18th verse of 1 Thessalonians. We know that Paul, of course, has written epistles in the New Testament. Here he has written this epistle to the church of Thessalonica, entitled it For the Thessalonians and to encourage them. And they had actually struggled a little bit. I mean, they thought they missed the return of Christ. And so Paul had written a epistle to them to comfort them, that they had not missed Christ's return, that it will happen. And he says this in verse 18, wherefore, we're going to go back and stretch the context in a few moments. Wherefore, what has been previously mentioned, comfort one another with these words. What are these words? Simply this. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming again. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning as we have lifted our voices in song, as we have given an offering, as we have greeted one another with handshakes and hugs and high fives and smiles. Lord, I pray that our heart is wide open to receive what you have for us this morning. God, we are really, truly too blessed to be stressed. There are troubles, there are struggles, there are heartaches in life. But Lord, with it all, through it all, Lord, we are blessed beyond measure. You tell us to count our blessings, name them one by one, to see what God hath done. Lord, one day, we believe it, we sing about it, we talk about it, and it will happen. One day, you're going to send your son back. We can count that as a blessing, that it's going to happen, and one day when it does happen. Until then, may we be encouraged this morning through the teaching, through the preaching, through the help of God's Word, I pray. Guide my thoughts, guide my heart. Help the people not to be distracted. Help this pastor not to be distracted. And let us apply the truths and the helps. As we see Paul say, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming again. In your name we pray. We all shout, we say,
amen.
And amen. Let's go and do a little bit of turning in the Word of God this morning. But before we do, let's read this passage now in its context. So we're going to back up to verse 13. I want to read verse 13 through 18, and then we're going to jump into the Gospel of John. But follow in verse 13. Here we go this morning. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Paul says, I don't want you to be foolish. I want you to be unlearned. I don't want you to feel like you don't understand this, brethren. Concerning them which are asleep, the word asleep there means those that have already passed on, those that are dead. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them which also are, also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to come back to our text and tear this passage apart a little bit. So let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's get some more background now so that I can relate back and kind of help us have some more scripture to lean to without having to do a lot of turning when I give three thoughts to you. I want you now to see John chapter 14. We come, Jesus has not gone to the cross yet. Jesus is doing his earthly ministry. He has obviously gathered disciples who are following him, who are going to be commanded to make other disciples, to fulfill the Great Commission, and to continue on in their life. But we come to a place here where Jesus is instructing them and encouraging them and reminding them that there's a better place. He says in verse number 1 of John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, that's a good four words underlined. I will come again.
Amen.
"And receive unto you myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And doubting Thomas, verse number 5. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus says in the very powerful verse that we're very familiar with, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus in these few verses gives the assurance, some anticipation of a mansion, and he's going to come again. And he gives the answer in verse number 6, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 7 says, "If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him," speaking that he is God. I want you now to go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians with me. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, in a lengthy epistle to the church at Corinth, again, clearing some things up, helping some things. They had some discipline that needed to be done in the church and some different areas of even lacking love. And we, of course, have 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. In 1 Corinthians 15, we open up in chapter, or verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and herein ye stand. By which also ye are saved." So you're saved by the gospel. "If ye keep in memory that I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Verse 3, "For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep." There's the thought of dying again. "After that, you have seen of James, and then of the apostles. And last, you have seen of me also, as one born out of due time." So Paul opens up, and he's helping and encouraging and admonishing them to, hey, here's the gospel. This is what you have believed. This is what you have received. And know that it is through what the Scriptures have recorded for us. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what I have preached to you. That's what I have proclaimed to let you know it's the only way to heaven. That's what you have professed and accepted as your as Savior, as your only way to heaven. And he goes through some other verses where, for sake of time, we can't slow down and go through the rest of this lengthy chapter. Come all the way to verse 51, if you would. He's talking about the resurrection, the importance of it through all of these verses and the method and just the important impact that's there. Maybe a little homework assignment to read all the verses. But look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we're not all going to die, he says. But we shall all be changed. Amen.
Amen.
There will be people alive on this earth when Jesus Christ does come back. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, out of Isaiah. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory, out of Hosea? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want you to see one more passage all the way back to the back of the book, Revelation. What was revealed to John? I want you to go to the last chapter this morning, Revelation 22. Getting some supporting passages for us to get back into 1 Thessalonians and relay to you three thoughts, three truths this morning. We will not read all the whole chapter, really. We won't even read the 17 verses that are mentioned here for the supporting passages in this portion. But I want you to see that as John had revealed to him, there was going to be a new heaven, new earth, a new paradise. We open up, we see that there's the pure river of water of life, crystal is clear, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, verse 1. We come down to verse number 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must be done shortly be done. Note verse 7, and say those four words with me that are in red if you have a red letter Bible. What did Jesus say? Say it with me. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings and the prophecy of this book. There then is recorded for us this last message, the last emphasis in what John saw. In verse number 12, Jesus says again, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be done. Note verse 13, we talk about the Alpha and Omega. Here it is. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and adulterers, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Hallelujah, praise God. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And let him that heareth say what? Come. And let him that will athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Jump down to verse number 20. He which testifies these things saith, say it with me, surely I come. May I remind you as we're reading these passages that in Peter the Bible tells us that a day is 1,000 years. So come quickly to us and say, man, I'm almost 80, I'm almost 30, I'm almost 40 or 20 or 10, whatever it is. To God it's just a moment. Just a quick boom. So the statements of back in verse 7, behold, I come quickly, and verse 12, behold, I come quickly, and verse 20, surely I come quickly. Oh, the promise is true, it's there. But look back in verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. What does the word amen mean? It means I agree. It means that's right. So be it. Look what's being said. Surely I come quickly. That's right. So be it. I agree. And note this next phrase. Even so. Say it. Come. We're going to close our service out with that song we've been learning, Even So Come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming again. Come back, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 4, and just for a few moments this morning, may I encourage you and help you to understand that you are too blessed to be stressed. Because Jesus is coming again. I want to give you three important truths concerning the return of Jesus Christ. But may I remind you that in Matthew 25 and verse 13, the Bible tells us to watch, therefore. For you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But the Bible does give us very, very important truths and in time and eschatology and help us to understand that there's going to come a day that perilous times will come and things will get worse and worse, and there will come when people turn away that we're going to see the imminent, that we're going to see Christ come for sure. He will come. But no, we don't know the day and we don't know the hour. And that's why it's so important in Matthew 25 and verse 13, that very first word. Watch. Watch. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You're too blessed to be stressed. Jesus is coming again. It can happen in a moment. Think about this. Before this pastor continues to rattle on, Jesus could come back.
Amen.
I mean, we could be out of here in a moment.
Praise the Lord.
Really? That's it? Some of you don't sound like you're ready to go. What's keeping you? What's holding you back? I don't know about you. I mean, I'm not ready to die per se today, as in like, I don't have to go today, but man, I'm ready to go today. If Jesus wants to come on back, come on back. I don't need to go make any more money. I don't need to have any more children. Now, marry a few off and get some grandchildren sound pretty cool to me. But not right now. But I just tell you that Jesus can come back and I'm ready for it. It can happen in a moment. Are you excited? Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Are we living that way? Do we really want it? Or are we too busy consumed with ourselves? Verse 18 in our text this morning. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can I try to comfort, encourage you just for a few moments? Number one, I want us to look at the certainty of his coming. The certainty of his coming. Jesus is coming. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. The certainty that Jesus is coming again is found, and it's evident in two areas that are unshakable this morning. Unshakable certainty of his return. Number one, I want you to see the assurance of Christ's saving work. In verse 14, as we have already read, Paul says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ will God bring with him." See, the reason that you can walk today, you can shout today, you can have a smile on your face today, your heart can be at peace, your direction in your life and your journey can be enjoyable, and it can be blessed and not stressed, is because you have the certainty of his coming. You have the assurance of Christ's saving work. See, we could already go back to all these other passages, right? John chapter 14. What a passage to comfort our soul in our life. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be perplexed. Don't be anxious. Don't be all caught up in everything. Know this, he says. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe also in me. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, yes, he has gone, right?
Yes.
Then I will come again.
Amen.
And receive you unto myself. The certainty of his coming, because Christ's work, his saving work of what he has said. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Everlasting life. The certainty of his coming. Verse 14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus. They know the Savior. Before Christ ascended, they went to Abraham's bosom. But after Christ ascended, they went to heaven. They're coming back with him, the Bible says. And the dead in Christ shall rise. We'll look at that in just a few moments. Those that are asleep, they'll be with us. In Jesus will God bring with him. The work of Jesus Christ gives us that certainty. The assurance of Christ's saving work. This morning, do you know you're saved? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that when you die, you're going to heaven? If so, your faith and trust in that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. That same faith is the faith that you need to have to read verses like this. John chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 22, and say, with faith, I believe you'll come back. It's part of the saving work. Secondly, the assurance of God's word. We've already looked at several passages this morning, and I will not reread them, and I will not make us turn anywhere else this morning, but you can read time and time again, Old Testament and New Testament, prophesied and foretelling of his coming and his coming again, and then in the New Testament. I go, I will come again. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope. What's the blessed hope? The return of Jesus Christ. That he saved us, that he accepted us in the beloved, that we are on our way to heaven, and now we look, anticipate, wait, the certainty of his coming this morning. Christ's saving work and the word of God. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This wasn't Paul's idea. This wasn't Paul's power. This wasn't Paul's fashion. But it was the word of the Lord that he was preaching and proclaiming. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. God's word tells us how it's going to happen. Do we know how it's all going to take place? Oh, no. But we know it's going to happen. We have more than enough scripture to tell us, to lean upon, to have faith in, and to rest and be not stressed, but to be know that we are blessed. That God's got a plan, a perfect plan. And with that perfect plan, one day he will turn to his son and say, go. Go get my children. Go get my beloved. Go get those that are saints. Go get the children of God. And Jesus will get up off the right hand of God and go. And come back in the twinkling of an eye. It can happen in a moment. He'll call us all to heaven. It's a certainty of his coming. Christ's saving work and the assurance of God. I want you to see verse 15 and just that one statement again, and we'll move on to the second thought. For this we say unto you by what?
The word of the Lord.
I want to remind you this morning, I want to comfort you this morning. God said it. Jesus Christ himself said it in the Gospels. That's all you need. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, which is God, saying, hey, you're saved, you're in the Father's hands, you're in the Son's hands, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. Enjoy the journey.
Amen.
One day I'll return. And you have the certainty that I will come back. It's my saving work, and it's in God's word. I want you to see secondly this morning, a truth that we can take and we can rest upon, and Jesus is coming again. Not only the certainty of his coming in verse 14 and 15, but in verse 16 and 17, I want you to see the comfort of his coming. The comfort of his coming. Once again, we are given some help and some reassurance and some things to say amen about in verse 16 and 17. As we are comforted. As verse 18 says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These are the words that Paul's speaking of. 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Don't be ignorant. Don't be fooled, he says. Foolish, in verse 13. You can know that those that have already died, those that are asleep, they will, once again, see Jesus just as you would. It's Christ's saving work. It's the word of God. But let me comfort you. Let me help you have an ease of feeling. I don't know about you, but I like comfort.
Amen.
I do. I like things when they're comfortable, things that are normal. Like we're talking about sometimes just a lazy boy, you know, hitting the recliner and just kind of sitting back and all the cushion. My wife and I went to the living space. One of the greatest things, man, just ladies, plug your ears, okay? One of the greatest things you can do, man, is you can take your wife to the Cheesecake Factory for a date and then go to Living Space and let her just walk around and have Starbucks coffee around the corner for free. Just think about that. Okay? Anyways, yeah, Jerry, you got it right. Yeah. Everybody's just like, what are you talking about? She just feels like she's in, you know, furniture heaven, and she just walked. Have you guys been to Living Space? One. Sorry, Jim. No, I'm sorry. He's dated his wife. If you've not been to Living Space, don't go buy anything. I'm not telling you to buy anything. Okay? Don't do that. You can if you want, but I'm not saying buy anything. I'm just saying just walk it. My wife likes to walk it. So there's free coffee. But anyways, okay, back on track. So Lazy Boy Recliner. Well, Friday night we were out there. We went out to dinner, and then we went into Living Spaces, and I found this green couch, bright green, or I don't know, teal, I don't know what color it was. It was bright, but it was the most comfortable thing. So we just sat and stared at the table that we were thinking about, and I just was sipping a coffee. It was the greatest thing. Comfort. I like comfort. You like comfort too. You like a comfortable bed. You like comfortable chairs. We like things that are even comfortable with our finances. All I know is comfort is a word. Ease, a feeling of just being easy or having an ease, right? Being at ease about it. Verse 16 and 17, Paul says, let me comfort you. Let me put you at ease with some statements. Look what he says here. We have four wonderful promises given to us in these four verses. Number one, the promise of a return. Look at it, verse 16. The promise of a return. For the Lord himself, who's coming back? The Lord himself, Jesus Christ. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. What a scene. We're just trying to envision that. Jesus Christ is coming back with a shout. See, we are sometimes fuddy-duds as Baptists. Jesus Christ ain't coming back like that. Just take it in. In the twinkling of an eye, Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he does, verse 16 says, he's coming with a shout. He's coming with an excitement. He's coming to see and be with his children. The voice of an archangel and the trump of God. What a wow. You guys just sit like bumps and logs. It's Bible. I can't do anything more than tell you what's there. Jesus' voice is going to be excited and be shouting. Are you going to, listen, how are you going to, when Jesus Christ is back, what are you going to do? Okay, so now, some of you, we might just be shocked, okay? I mean, when it happens in a moment, right? Look at verse 16. There is a return coming. See, we're doing all of this life stuff, right? This journey. How many of y'all going to work tomorrow? Come on. Okay. Come on, church. How many of y'all going to work tomorrow? All right. How many of you are tired? You're glad to retire? All right. Awesome. Yeah. Woo! And look at those hands. They went a lot faster than those ones that have to work tomorrow. How many of you kids are in school and looking forward, or not looking forward, you have to come back to school on August 14th? Yeah, some hands here and there. Those things can be burdens or wear us down. You know, school, retirement, work. When you put it all in the scope and think that one day he's going to return, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. The promise of his return, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. What a day. Now, you and I cannot fathom that to its fullest. I get it. But may we, the next time we're feeling stressed and we're feeling down under, we feel like it's just not going to work out, maybe we'll open up to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and go, you know what? There's the promise of the return. But not only the promise of the return, I want you to write this down, the promise of a resurrection. You say, well, Pastor, hasn't Jesus Christ already resurrected? Oh, he has. But there's another resurrection, and it's the dead in Christ. Look at verse 16. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Up from the grave, they arose. He arose, hallelujah. Amen. Over death, hell, and the grave, victorious. He's at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. He is our propitiation. He is our advocate. 1 John 2:2. If we sin, we have an advocate to be able to get to God through, of course, Jesus Christ the Son. There's the comfort of Jesus Christ is going to return, the promise. With a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The promise of a resurrection. Now just soak it up. See, we're going to get to Revelation later, and Brother Miano's going to help us with this when we get there. But there's going to come a day when the tombs are open.
Amen.
And up and out come these dead bodies. What a day. What a moment. Again, we go, whoa, how is that going to happen? Oh, it's my friends, a God thing and only a God. And all those ashes of all the people that have been cremated who have gone out, and I'm not trying to be too silly and funny, but just the truth is, they put them on the ground somewhere, they cast them in the sea. Every one of those little pieces of ash, guess what? It's coming back together. I mean, we can see some in the Pacific, but way out there, to the north, to the south, everywhere, all those ashes, that one body. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We got to wait for all that to happen. Oh, how close is it going to be in a twinkling of an eye? Just boom. Dead in Christ, right? Graves are open. People that are alive and remain then, driving cars are going up. That's why the tribulation time, when you study and understand, oh my, wow. But as a saint, we're excited.
Amen.
As a believer and knowing Jesus Christ and a personal Savior, I don't have to stress. I'm blessed. Because there's a promise of a return. There's a promise of a resurrection. Thirdly, I want you to note the promise of a rapture. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain, so those that are alive. Now, if I had my preference, I would like to be alive. I don't get a pick. But if I could, I would want to be alive. I mean, I want to see, not being morbid, but I want to see the dead rise. I do. I mean, again, it's going to happen so fast, so again, it's not going to be slow go. Okay? It's just going to go. But it's like you're going to see graves open, boom, and there it is. Verse 17, though, says there's a rapture. Then we which are alive remain shall be, here it is, this is the rapture, caught up together. Caught up together. See, this is where when you study out Scripture, and we want to take the time today, when you go to Isaiah, you look at Daniel, you look at all of the end times, and you talk about the tribulation. Okay. We know that we're waiting for the return of Christ, and the tribulation will start. And you have the 7 years, in that time we'll be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And at the end of the 7 years, then there's the literal thousand-year millennial reign where we all come back on horses to rule and to reign with Jesus, to come back. When you look at all the end times, it's fascinating and it's awesome. But here's where the rapture takes place when you study out and go to Matthew 25 and other places. Right there between now and before the tribulation starts. Christ is going to come back, but this is the second coming that we often term second coming. This is the rapture event. Christ is going to come down, and he's not going to set his feet down upon the ground. He's going to stay up off the ground. He's coming to get his children.
That's right.
To take them back from the marriage land. Let the 7 years of tribulation take place. And then he will come, and he will set his feet down. And he will be, that will be the second coming as we often term it. And Christ then will come back to rule and reign in a little thousand years. So we see in verse 17, we see the rapture event. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I want you to notice lastly, number four, the promise of a reunion. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christian, do you hear that? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Has anyone ever seen Jesus here in this room? But it's coming today. When he will return, when the resurrection of the dead shall happen, when there will be a rapture event, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up, and then there will be a grand reunion where you get to be with Jesus, where you get to be with God. How long?
Forever.
Pastor, how long is forever?
Forever.
Forever. Pastor, explain for me, how long is forever? I can't. But I'll tell you one good illustration that has been used many times, and that is, get you a 100-foot rope. Take that 100-foot rope and just put a piece of electrical tape right around the end. And then take that rope and just throw it out there in a long line. And right now, you're living in electrical tape. But when Jesus comes back, you're living in the rope. Now, that rope will never end, okay, in eternity and forever. But to give us a comparison of how 80 years seems, it ain't nothing. When we are caught up to meet him in the air and forever. Christian, Jesus is coming again. The certainty of his coming and the comfort of his coming. I ask you this morning, what are you living for? And let me take you to the third thought. And that is the challenge of his coming. The challenge of his coming. The certainty is there. The comfort is there. But let me close this morning, and we're going to jump into chapter 5 for just a little while. Let me just have the challenge portion of this. What we ought to be taking part in. It can happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He can call us all to heaven. There forever we'll be with him. Three questions that I have written down for you in your outline that I just want to just kind of graze over and just talk about here in conclusion. Verse 17 says that we will meet him in the air. But we got to be ready. The challenge of his coming. Number one, I want to ask this question. Dear saint, dear child of God, are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Christ? Look at verse number 1, chapter 5. But this But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Paul says you got that from the understanding that things are bad, things are perilous, you're looking around, you're perplexed. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. Remember Matthew 25:13, no man knows the day or the hour. Paul uses this idea, this comparison. So cometh as a thief in the night, unexpectedly. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh from upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Christian, hear that? But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. You shouldn't be surprised. You should be watching. You should be ready. And looking, anticipating, and wanting the return of Christ. Oh, there'll be that as a human being, just that awe and that factor, maybe that shock. But don't be surprised. Don't be as a thief in the night or such. Verse 5, you are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Let us not get lazy. Let us not slumber as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. Look at this. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And on the helmet, the hope of salvation. Question this morning. Are you ready? See, what is life all about? Are you anticipating? Are you engaging? Are you living every day wanting truly the return of Christ? And not just to get out of this bad world, but all of your living and all of your doing, your faith, your love, putting on the helmet of salvation, your hope of salvation, wanting Christ to come, and you're doing everything that he could have, he could come any moment. And you're living and wanting him to come, and you're doing life the way it's supposed to be lived. See, I don't know when Christ is going to come. No man knows the day or the hour. But I'll be honest with you, it chuckles at me sometimes. I hope God comes at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. I wonder if he'd catch us here. If he came. See, when we live a Christian life and we want to return to Christ, you know what's first? God. First day of the week, the saints gather in the house of God. Let it never be a guessing game if you're going to be in church. Be in church. Have fun at church. Enjoy church. Are you ready? In these 8 verses, he says, you're in the light, not in the darkness. Don't be caught unaware. Watch and be sober, he says. Second question I want to ask, are you saved? Are you saved? Say, Pastor, man, you're talking to a bunch of churchgoers. You know we're saved. I don't want to assume anything. So I want to ask, I want to plead, and I want to beg, and I want to ask you to search your heart right now. Is the point of a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment? Surely he will come quickly. And it will be too late one day. But 1 John 5:13 says, you may know that you have eternal life. Verse 9 says this in 1 Thessalonians 5, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or sleep, if we're alive or we're dead, we should live together with him. Question number 2. The challenge of his coming. Are you ready? Number 2. Are you saved? Right now. If you took the last breath, you're done. Boom, life's over. My friend, are you fretting where you spend eternity? Are you wondering? Are you doubting? You don't have to. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I confess my sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm put into the Father's hands and no man can pluck me out. Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward me and that while I was a sinner, he died for me. You have to receive and believe. For by grace are you saved through faith. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercy he saved me. Acts 16:31, thou shalt believe, thou shalt be saved if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, are you saved? Don't let that pass by. See, the devil right now wants you to get distracted. He wants you to think about Monday. He wants you to think about something else. But right now, my friend, listen to me. Hear me out, young one, old one, every age in between. Do you know for certain that when you take that last breath, you're on your way to heaven? Well, Pastor, I'm gonna try to work there. I'm going to be good. You can't be good enough. Amen. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. We're all filthy. The The Bible says even our goodness, our righteousness is as a filthy rag in Isaiah. Amen. There's nothing good in this boy. And there's nothing good in you. And I don't mean that to be mean and bash you, but it's just true. The Bible says it. The only way is by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Pastor, that's too simple. I got to do something for it. The foolishness of preaching. Fear will keep people out of heaven. The preaching this morning is this. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and seal the deal. Nothing else you have to do. Are you saved? If you're not saved, don't play. Oh, I'll do that on my deathbed. You don't know how your deathbed is going to come. Your deathbed can come behind a steering wheel and instant impact and you're out of here. And it's too late. You'll spend eternity in hell. If you're hearing the message this morning, if there be 70 people in here, I want 70 people to know that you can go to heaven.
Amen.
It's not a game. Jerry, I'm so glad you know.
Amen.
Praise God. Jerry, can I ask you how old you are, if you don't mind sharing? How old are you, Jerry?
78.
Oh, never mind. John doesn't mind sharing. You're 78.
He didn't hear it.
Exactly. I'm not embarrassing Jerry, but I'm glad Jerry knows Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
78 years of age, he was able to make that decision. You can't wait until 78. You might not make it there. God was gracious and gave that opportunity. And Jerry said, today is the day of my salvation. I need to seal it. I need to make sure it's settled. And however more days and years God gives Jerry, praise God for it. But he knows for sure. Stats tell us that we must reach the next generation while they're young, because when someone gets older, it's harder for them. They got their ways and their wants and their doings, and they sometimes just sit powerless. Are you saved this morning? Last question. Verse 11 through 28 says, are you exhorting? Look at verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves again. Paul ended chapter 4, wherefore comfort. Now he says in middle of chapter 5, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify, build up. That's one of our themes, our purposes at Mountain View Baptist Church. Even as ye also do. And we beg you, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be peace among yourselves. Verse 12 and 13, talking about laborers in the church, the pastor, esteem them, be appreciative of them. Thank God for those that will stand and tell you the truth. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Some of the shortest verses here in the Bible, but they're powerful. Listen, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Why can I rejoice evermore? Jesus is coming again. Pray without ceasing. Why should I pray without ceasing? Jesus is on the throne. We're at the right hand of God. God's on the throne. One day he's going to come back. I should be praying. Even so, Lord, come. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophecy. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul, body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Jesus had the Nike slogan before they had it. Do it. Just do it. We'll do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I pray you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Exhorting. The challenge of his coming is, are you ready?
Amen.
Are you saved? And are you exhorting? The take-home thought is this morning. I can, or I'm living the blessed life, knowing that Christ is coming again. I don't have to stress. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?